Shane Cortland joins us in the studio this morning. He's the director of the Center for Ethics and Public Policy. And Shane, just recently, the courts had to make a decision about a right-to-die group called Final Exit Network. And they were found guilty of assisting the suicide of a woman here in Minnesota who took her own life in 2007. Mm-hmm. And they had to kind of look at the wording of the law to find them guilty for this. And the more I read about it, the more I started wondering about what is considered assistance, how do they word it, what is considered assistance. And as we were talking about just a minute ago, I guess I, like many people, understand that it's a complex issue. But I kind of tend to side with the people who say you should be able to choose to end your life with dignity, perhaps choose to end your life before a lot of suffering. Mm-hmm. But in recent years, as we've watched some of these awful, ghastly cases of bullying on social media, and we're finding young people taking their lives because other people are, it's not assisted suicide, they're actually encouraging them to end their lives. To me, that kind of opened up the whole discussion all over again.
Yes.
And added a little piece to the conversation that hadn't been there before.
Yeah, so there are two different things going on here, that both of which are important. So first, when it comes to assisted suicide, everybody's extremely concerned, and as they ought to be, that the person who is asking for it is in fact mentally competent, right? And usually various assisted suicide laws, like say in Oregon, or even the one that's being proposed here in Minnesota, which I believe is SF 1880 by Senator Chris Eaton, requires that the patient both be competent, right, and at the same time be undergoing a terminal illness, right?
Okay.
To exclude cases like, say, bullying in particular.
Okay.
But that is always a concern, since this is sort of the ultimate of final decisions, right? We want to make sure that the people who are engaged in those decisions have the full use of their faculties and are not under any sort of duress, whether it be, say, being pushed online or duress by, say, suffering from some sort of, you know, mental illness.
I'm thinking about, I don't know what, maybe I see too many movies. I'm thinking about the adult kids mm-hmm. trying to get rid of mom so they can have the estate.
And there is that sort of concern, right? So, and I don't want to say that it's an illegitimate concern, because you'll often see that many people who want to pass, because most of our medical bills are actually at the end of our life, they don't want to be a burden onto their family. Now, the interesting sort of question is that a sort of thing that we should not allow to sway people? Because in one sense, it seems like they're being compulsed, right? They're being pushed. In another sense, though, it could be just an adequate representation of that person's values. If that person really cares about their family and wants to leave their family with something, right, you know, who are we to tell that particular individual, no, you can't do that, or that's an illegitimate reason?
Or not to be a burden, not to be seen that way, not to... I know that my father passed before he really had to deal with this, but I know that he would have wanted... definitely for his life to end at 90 before maybe dementia took hold completely, because he would not have wanted anyone to see him that way. His dignity would have been so violated. He would have found that to be such a hideous prospect that he would not have wanted.
Yeah, and so in that sense, you'd be respecting his choice. That's ultimately, you know, what he values. It's what makes him him. And part of the, I'd say, allure, and I think reasonably so, of these particular assisted suicide laws is it allows people to preserve that. Right, it allows them to kind of have almost a sort of final say on how they leave the world and in what state.
Right. Right. But there is that sense that you realize about the slippery slope.
Yes.
And sometimes that really is a legitimate concern, because you can see where, you know, the kids are sitting at dad's bedside. Dad, you really don't want to be a burden. Dad, you really don't. Did it, you know, and they
well, it's even
have
trickier
their
than that.
Eye on an inheritance or something.
Yeah, I mean, the slippery slope is even slippier than that, and it is a legitimate concern. So, for example, If somebody is too ill where they can't take the pills themselves, right?
Right.
The question then will come up, well, why is this disabled person denied dignity with his or her death, right? And then, of course, people will be pushing, well, then maybe we should allow for, you know, not just physician-assisted suicide, but full-on euthanasia, right? And then another question would be, well, what if the patient is incompetent, right, but had sort of, say, a living will or advanced directive that would allow for this? The question is, shouldn't we honor...
If someone were injured in a terrible accident.
Exactly.
Of some
and so okay. then all of a sudden we say, well, we should respect that person's choice. So now we're giving euthanasia to somebody who's not competent. Right.
Right.
Now, the thing about this sort of a slippery slope, it's not a logical fallacy. It seems like the argument requires us to make these sorts of moves. Right. It seems like there's no way to sort of resist this. There is a legitimate concern. But nonetheless, you know, we've had this is not, say, would you say, a policy that we've, you know, never seen before. It's been around. You know, it's been in the Netherlands. We have many states that have it now. Was it Oregon, Washington, Montana, New Mexico? Right. And I think what is it lately? Vermont. Right. Has it as well. Physician-assisted
possibly.
Suicide. Yeah.
Right.
And Minnesota is now trying to propose it, not to mention other states. So it's not as though, you know, we're careening down the slippery slope. But it is something that we definitely want to consider.
And every generation needs to kind of unpack the thing and take a look at it. As you look at the discussion on a national level, perhaps a theoretical level, mm-hmm. what are some of the things that you need to kind of work into your thinking, and then perhaps as you begin to prepare a final directive for yourself, mm-hmm. what are some of the things that you might, you know, how much you would take that, the argument and the thinking you've done about the big picture and bring it back to your own case?
Well, when I'm thinking about the end, I think everybody should, because it usually comes when it's not expected, right, is that you should try to figure out what exactly your goals would be when your life is going to end. I'd also be very clear to try to find a proxy decision maker, right? Because a lot of times, even under the best circumstances, you could try to think of the best way to phrase your wishes and desires, but it'll be ambiguous at times, right? It helps, don't get me wrong. I'm not discouraging people from doing that, but it is much more helpful at times to also designate a proxy decision maker who will, you know, represent you when you're unable to make such decisions. And that's usually when these things creep up, right? And it's very hard for physicians, various, you know, most medical ethics committees that I've been a part of, you know, we're constantly discussing what is this person's wishes. It's not exactly clear. And who's the proxy, right? So I cannot emphasize that enough, regardless if it's about specifically, you know, physician assisted suicide, just any sort of end of life planning, make your wishes as clear as possible, but always designated a proxy.
Is that person usually a spouse? Or a good friend or family doctor.
It could be anyone in that sort of a sense, right? And a lot of times it is a spouse, right? But it can be a good friend. Make sure you have this stuff written down, right? You know, you'd want this to be, you know, durable power of attorney would be even better if you could, right? But these sorts of things are important because when it comes to making these sort of decisions, I can't tell you how many times family members come out of the woodwork who've been estranged saying that they know what's best for their loved one and they haven't seen their loved one in a long time. And so it gets really gray and murky quick. So having this sort of stuff prepared, right? Regardless if you're deciding to end your life with physician-assisted suicide, just any sort of end-of-life planning, having a proxy decision-maker is great.
One final question.
Yes.
How would you or would you mm-hmm. encourage people who say, I don't even want to think about it?
Mm-hmm.
How would you encourage them, if you were going to encourage them, to tackle it anyway?
Well, I mean, there's a couple ways, right? Regardless if you don't want to think about it, it is inevitably going to happen to every one of us, right? So nobody escapes life alive, right? So there's no way of avoiding this. The other thing about it is you want to think about not just yourself. I mean, you may not be conscious or aware when these things are going on, but also your loved ones. Your loved ones are going to have to make agonizing decisions, right? And it makes those decisions even harder if they're surrounded in ambiguity, right? And so you don't make their choices easier by not expressing your wishes. Expressing your wishes just makes it clearer for them so they know how to go forward. And it helps so they don't feel like they're making mistakes that cost you your life.
And it takes that burden off them.
Yeah, it's somewhat, the, right? The, I mean, it'll never be fully removed.
The responsibility is with you in essence where it belongs.
I mean, so they can always say, and legitimately so, you know, this is what grandfather wanted, right? You know, this is his wishes.
Yes.
It's not so much us trying to, you know, Sunday or Monday quarterback it for
right.
him. You know, this is really what he wants.
Excellent. Shane, thanks for coming in. It's always great to kind of dig a little bit under the surface and take
me.
A look at the hows and whys of things. Shane Cortland joined us as our guest this morning. He is the director of UMD's Center for Ethics and Public Policy.